Welcome back to episode 41 of Impacted, coming to you live via the Total Nonstop Impact Network on YouTube and, of course, Twitch. I am your host, Bison, and today I'm joined by the TNI UK team of Simply Steve and the Joker. Hello, chaps. How are we doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Good. How about yourself, Steve?
Yep, fine, thanks.
Good to hear. Now, just at this point, I've noticed we've got quite a few people in the chat already. So can I ask if you give us a thumbs up now to get that out of the way. And if you're new to the show, hit that subscribe button and give the bell a little tickle to never miss any of the great content coming out each and every week from the TNI UK and, of course, the US teams. Today, we have a very special guest who has recently been taking the wrestling world by storm. You'll get the thing there, storm, get that? It's a little clue. Please welcome the sensational Lady Frost.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no worries. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good. Now, first of all, I wanted to talk about your recent appearance on Impact against the current Knockouts champ, Deanna Purrazzo, because you had a really good match. And I think to people who may have not seen you before, this appearance, it really opened eyes to what you can do. Can you give us an insight into how this appearance came about? And was this your first appearance with Impact? Because I couldn't find any other. So I'm wondering whether it is or not.
This was my first appearance with Impact, yes.
Fantastic.
I can't give you the scoop on how it went down. That's not very professional. But I received a phone call or a text message, rather. It all starts in the DMs. Come on now. It starts in the DMs. Mm-hmm. Then you get the text message. Then you get the phone call. That's like the succession of how reaching out goes. So... I got the call. My husband and I actually went down. I knew kind of what I was in for, but it was a feeling out process of how it was going to go with Impact. I really did like it. I enjoyed my time there. I enjoyed the locker room and Tommy Dreamer. So he's the one that kind of put it together. My husband wrestled Tommy Dreamer a few years ago, so we were familiar with him. But yeah, that was my first appearance there for them.
Okay, fantastic. So the main thing is that you clearly enjoyed yourself, and that makes us happy because that means that potentially we may see you again in the future. Now, I know the lads have a few questions to get going with you, but what I do want to say quickly before we get into that is anyone in the chat, because we've already got quite a few people in there, if you've got any questions for Lady Frost, put them in the chat, and if we get enough time, we will make sure that we pass those questions up to her. I'm sure there's quite a few in there already, probably, so we'll have a look at that in a second. But first of all, let's get to the lads. So let's go with Joe. Joe, what have you got for Lady Frost?
I recently watched a match you had with Kate Von Cage. I think it was Hurricane Pro Wrestling or something, and they mentioned that you got a very well-established background in gymnastics, and I was just wondering, did that have an influence on your entrance to professional wrestling? What just made you to jump from going from a gymnastics background into a wrestling?
So if you were watching Hurricane Pro on Title Match Network, it was probably Heather Monroe I was wrestling.
That's the one, yes. Apologies, my head's a bit.
So yeah, gymnastics definitely had an influence. I think it was easy to navigate The ring is kind of like the floor exercise, right? It's a big square and you have your passes and the diagonals in the center. And rolling and bumping was natural to me. Those are things that are instilled in my body. I'm naturally an athlete, so I think that really lends itself to professional wrestling. You have to be coordinated to control your own body weight and someone else's body weight, because you're unsafe if you can't do that. So hit the gym, people. but yeah, I think it was an easy transition. There's a performance element for sure. I just wasn't certain that I was going to love speaking on the microphone as much as I do. Surprise.
But you seem to do quite well though, don't you?
I like to think so. Yeah.
To it. I was going to say the same.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Perfectly.
Yeah, she has. I think she's settled in beautifully. And that was one of the reasons why I contacted, really, because when I'd seen it, like I say, I'd seen an interview previously and I was like, hang on, this girl's going to be good. you know, so I think it's great that you managed to come on the show. Steve, what have you got for Lady Frost?
Well, the one I had was kind of pretty simple, which was we saw you come out in like your Lady Frost gimmick, and really, how long, you know, where did you get the idea behind that Lady Frost gimmick? And really, how long have you been doing it?
Well, if you've been following since the beginning, I actually did not name myself. I got lucky with a spot with WWE. They named me Jamie Frost, and it just kind of snowballed from there. Yes, I said it. My husband and I do like a lady and a gentleman gimmick. I was his manager at the time. And we just kind of went with that to make it organic. And then I took it, you know, wherever it felt natural. I think it was more of a character with the Lady Frost in the beginning. And then it just came into, you know, am I cold or am I cool? And that's depending on the audience, you know, what side of me that kind of comes out. But entrance gear is by far one of my favorite portions of wrestling. I love a great entrance. So I have a few different cloaks, and then I have like the ice crystal shoulder pads, which I did wear for the Impact appearance. But it's always an evolution, I feel like. It's, you know, you can't get stale with what you're doing.
No. The entrance when you showed up made me feel like it's a shame that we lost Taya Valkyrie. That would have been a great entrance versus entrance.
I know. So I took a seminar with Taya like 3 years ago, and I was familiar with her. I didn't watch all wrestling forever, so I didn't know that she had sort of like this snow ice gimmick at one point, being from Canada. And I know she always did the elaborate cloak, so that's why I actually did not wear the cloak, because I didn't want those similarities being drawn or me thinking that I was pulling from that. So I had no idea, but it would have been a great tag team. I will say that.
Oh, I would have sent chills.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I think it would have been amazing. Oh, send chills. Very good. Very good, Joe. I like it.
I've been saving that for a while.
You definitely have the, here comes another cliche, you definitely got the cool factor. How about that? The cool factor. I'm sure there's loads of little cliches that could come out on this one. So have we got any questions? So we've got, what have we got in there? So we've got, what was it like wrestling for? Oh, so there's a question here from Punk Trace. I think that's how you say it. What was it like wrestling for Impact and AEW? So we've already answered the Impact one. So what about AEW?
I think every locker room has a different vibe. I think obviously AEW has a bigger production value, and taping with them was very different because at the time we were wrestling at like 2 a.m. And I don't know if a lot of people know that. We were taping after Dynamite and they were filming the shows, and then we were on at, you know, midnight to 2 a.m. filming these matches. So it was a really long day in hair and makeup. You know, you're tired, but you're excited. There's all this anxious energy. So it was definitely a different feel. And you got to be ringside for other matches, which was really cool. So you got to kind of see what was happening for the next few weeks before everyone else did. But yeah, just different vibe for sure. I think everyone has their flavor of ice cream, I think, to put it nicely. So I'm not going to pick a flavor, because I've been to AEW, Ring of Honor, WWE, Impact, and NWA. And I think there are so many positives with every single company. You know, it's a blessing to get to work for one or all of them. So that's my answer.
Just finding out you've worked for all of them alone is amazing in itself, you know. Just how many people can say that? They've at least had a shot at each company.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely have been very lucky. Like, I've put in the work, but I do think, you know, being at the right place at the right time, or that definitely has a role for sure.
It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I think, you know, you, and the thing is as well, is one of the things I wasn't aware of, but you've not actually been in the wrestling business that long, have you? So you've come a long way. You've appeared for a lot of promotions in quite a short space of time. So am I right in thinking it's sort of like 2 or 3 years?
Yeah. I just hit my 3-year independent wrestling anniversary in June. And one of those years, you have to think the world was shut down. Although we were wrestling, we were doing some filming with Shakara, which really, really, really helped. We did a lot of training and like one-on-one training because of protocol with COVID. So I learned a lot when the world was shut down. And that's when a time when people weren't wrestling really at all. I mean, we were lucky. That's when the AEW stuff happened last year. And, you know, I was fortunate to still be able to grow in the time that wrestling wasn't really thriving. But yeah, I just hit 3 years. I did all 5 companies under 3 years, which I was really, really proud of.
It's amazing, guys.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. You know, I mean, all I can say is that, you know, if there's people out there that hasn't seen any of your work, you need to get yourself on YouTube and you need to check out Lady Frost's work, because for me, you know, she is an incredible talent. And I think it's very clear to see that you have that gymnastic background, because a lot of the stuff that you do, which I think is really cool, is very much based on that kind of tumbling type style from gymnastics that you've sort of kind of incorporated into your wrestling as well. Now, I have to say, and Joe pointed this out, mentioned this earlier on today when we were talking about you coming on, was that I think you've got the best moonsault in the business today. Right, yeah. Your moonsault really is majestic, and I think it comes from the fact that, you know, your gymnastic background is very prominent in the way you tumble, the way that you move, because everything is sort of like straight, point your toes, and you know, you just look very majestic. Though there was a photograph from the moonsault that you did on Deanna Peraza Impact a couple of weeks ago. I shared it around yesterday when I came across it. But your form is just so perfect, and I think it just sort of kind of shows you know what a move like that can really look like if it's done like kind of like to perfection, if that makes sense. So for me, it's just an amazing move, and I like some of the kind of like tumbling-y style stuff that you do. I think you were doing a few tumbly type things in that match that we were talking about earlier with Heather Munro, and there was some great stuff, and I really enjoyed it. So I just got to say, you know, guys, if you haven't seen much of Lady Frost's work, you need to check it out, because it's well worth spending the time to search it out. It's fantastic. Now, interestingly enough, and I think everybody probably wants to know this, I you're probably not going to be able to answer it either, but do you think we might be lucky enough to see you turn up on Impact again in the future, or is this not, you know, in the future? I don't know. It's a hard one to ask, because I know it's difficult, but I know everybody wants to know.
There is always a possibility, yes, because I am not under contract anywhere. And a lot of companies are now working with each other. And I think it's definitely a possibility. I will say that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to pester Scott DeMore and see if he bites again.
Yes, it's like, come on, Scott. Come on, Scott. So... So we've got another question. it's, I don't know whether it's really a question, to be honest, but Danny Barron in the chat has just basically stated, Lady Frost, did you get your moonsault inspired by Great Muta, Kurt Angle, or even Lita? You have the best moonsault right now. There you go.
Well, I think it's not just me that thinks that. I do take pride in my moonsault. I think that was one of the only things, like, when I first started, I knew that I wanted to do. Here's a fun story that people may not know or like, but my first moonsault from the top rope that I ever did was live in a match. It was not practiced. I had never done it before. I was still a manager. Wow. And climbed right up to the top. I was like, I know that I can do this. So, yeah, I did. And that was that. Like, it was history. I loved it. I knew that was going to be my move. And like you said, form was really important in gymnastics. I did want it to look elegant, but destructive. That's a lot of my moveset. Like, I want it to look like I'm well-trained, but still be very effective. So you add a little flair and still hurt someone.
Have you ever thought about having a best moonsault contest with Christopher Daniels with his best moonsault ever?
Put me against anybody.
But yeah. What was it like going in there and wrestling the honor?
Have you got any other questions, Joe?
Not off the top of my head. No, I keep thinking things where it's jumping back and forth a bit. I can't really think of anything. You've answered the question really. Do you think we're going to see you in Impact Wrestling again? Maybe. So is there any company particular that you would like to work for, or is it all still cards on the table? Let them come to me and fill the ice back.
I think
fill the ice back. That's very clever.
I think what's really important is it's not to be really set on one place or one idea, one notion, one contract, one set of money. It's really about where you feel valued and where you can be an asset somewhere. If they don't have something similar to me, or if they want to put me in a storyline, things like that are important. It's not just, hey, I really want to be at this place so that you can say that you're there. That's not a goal of mine. I want to leave an impression. I want to make history. I want people to appreciate exactly what I do, my character, and have a little bit of that creative freedom. So it might not fit everywhere, and that's okay. You know, we have so much good wrestling out there now. I don't think that we have to limit our minds to just being one place to support one person. So if people like what I do, they can follow anywhere. And of course, like I said, all of the companies have really great attributes. So I wouldn't mind landing anywhere, I suppose, but it would have to fit. It would have to be right.
Yeah, well, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, but people don't seem to appreciate the diversity that there is out there because they're so stuck to one gun. And Kira Hogan had the same outset you did when she went to Impact Wrestling. She didn't want to go to just one company. And she's gone there. She's been there for about just over 3 years now. And look at how she's transformed from someone who was almost like a deer in the headlights to one of the hottest talents out there, full pun intended.
She's definitely the hottest flame, Joe, isn't she? Yeah, that's for sure. So basically, you've got Kira Hogan, the hottest flame. We've got the coolest flame in the house today, which is pretty cool. Now, there was one thing I wanted to ask. Now, I guess, again, you're probably not going to be able to answer it thinking about it now. But obviously, we've got the big news that we've got the NWA Empower pay-per-view coming up, obviously run by Mickey James. Now, have you been approached with regards to appearing there at all?
I have not been announced officially, no.
I don't know if that's good. I like that.
I guess another. Would you like to do it?
NWA tapings. So we met. We have spoken. I was part of the long NWA tapings. So a lot is in the works. Yes.
That's going to be interesting. It's more interesting to tune in now.
That's interesting. Yeah, definitely. So it's fantastic. Now, it's definitely been awesome to have you on the show today. We only got a certain length of time, but it's been awesome to have you on the show today, and we wish you all the best for your future. So can you tell everyone where we can find, follow, or even purchase Lady Frost merch?
So currently I do not have my Instagram because I was hacked. I'm sure some of you might be familiar with that whole fiasco, but Real Lady Frost was my handle across the board. I still have the Facebook page that I can't access, but it's there. Real Lady Frost on Twitter, okay. And Lady Frost Big Cartel. And I also have a pro wrestling stores tee under Lady Frost. Oh yeah, good, all my links. That's everything. You can find me anywhere.
There you go.
Yes.
Awesome. There you go, see? Yeah, we're on the ball. Well done, Jay, in the background.
You're making my job
exactly.
easy.
We're here to make sure everybody knows everything there is to know about you. That's what we're here for.
We're all so cool, calm, collected.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been an absolutely awesome guest. Let's hear it. Lady Frost, everyone.
I've just woke my puppy up now.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
No worries. Take care.
Take care.
We'll see ya. Thank you.
She's still there, Jay. Take care. Well, there you go. What a fantastic interview. I think, Lady Foss, absolutely fantastic. And, she's got a right head for the business. She knows exactly what she wants to do, where she's going. She's totally got that gimmick down to a T, I think. I cannot wait to see more from Lady Frost in the future. Absolutely superb. Please come back again soon. That's all I got to say on that one. I think it'd be great to have you on again, maybe. Okay, so, and the chat seemed pretty impressed as well. So there's a lot going on in the chat today.
Definitely. Yeah, everyone seemed very, sort of, very, to right, enjoy okay. it very much.
Yeah, definitely. I'm, it's a bit choppy today, isn't it, lads? I've done everything I can to improve my internet in the Mandalorian cave, but I think it's still a little bit choppy today. But I'm not sure what else I can do really, other than maybe move into the house. But there you go. Can everyone in the chat just let us know? Is it choppy for you guys, or is it just a bit choppy for me? I don't know, but hopefully it's going to be okay. So. Okay, well, there's obviously we can go in to talk about some of the news and rumors. Obviously, earlier this week, we found out through a promo through Impact that Gail Kim is joining Mickie James in regards to running the NWA Empower pay-per-view. What are your thoughts on that, Joe?
I'm so pleased that Gail Kim's going to be back in the same building as Mickie James. You know, those two are close friends. They have been since they met in WWE. So there's a hell of a lot of respect between the two of them, and both of them have been shooting down all the marks who are taking the piss out of this right from the go. You know, Gail Kim is not going there to get back in the ring, and she's made that clear ages ago that her match with Tessa Blanchard was the match she's finishing her wrestling career, and she's no intention in trying to outdo that match, outshine the match, and make anybody else feel that they have to try and beat that match. You know, Gail Kim's going there to be an ambassador, like Mickie James is being an ambassador for women's wrestling. She's going there to be an ambassador for women's wrestling. So that's the sole purpose. That and Mickie James is a friend of hers. So, and I don't think it couldn't be anyone better to go apart. You know, you can get Gail Kim to go there. It'd be awesome if they could get Trish Stratus to come as well, and Lita, but they're both associated with WWE, so unfortunately they're not contractually obliged to, as far as I know.
Yeah, I think you might we definitely are going to probably see Terrence Arell, which would be really good, as well. Which I you know, there's going to be some big names there, definitely. What about you, Steve? What are your thoughts on this one? I'm definitely going to see if I can get this one for myself. I really want to watch it. So, what about yourself?
Yeah, and I mean, when they had the whole Mickey incident, I was like, I wonder if we're going to get Mickey sort of coming into Impact and helping Gail behind the scenes. But you know, Gail going over there and running or helping run Empower, I do wonder if it'll lead to Gail maybe lending the odd hand with the women's division over there, and maybe Mickey lending the odd hand with the women's division over here. You know, they're lending talent. You know, that could be a hand backstage kind of, you know, you scratch my back, we'll scratch your back kind of thing.
Yeah. It's exactly what you need to smooth things over with Billy Corgan. You know, I honestly don't think his gripes are as bad as everyone's making it out to be. But still, this is something that's just what the people outside need to see more than anything else, is that we are supporting each other.
Exactly. I think that's right. And, you know, I'm excited about it all. I think, like you say, I think it's possibly the way to sort of kind of like bridge that gap, you know, restart building that relationship. Mickey James
is pretty good.
It is. Yeah, it is pretty good. So if we start to get those overlaps between NWA and Impact's Knockouts division, it could be really good. So I think, some interesting stuff moving forward. We definitely need to get that hardcore country soundbite every time Mickey James is mentioned. I think that would be really cool. On another note, I just want to wish Front Row Bill, William Gardner, happy birthday. I think it was his birthday. Was it today or was it yesterday?
Happy birthday, brother Bill.
Happy birthday, brother. Fantastic. He's 21 again, I heard. We're doing really well. It's great. It's great. Happy birthday, brother. It's great. It's great to have you in the TNI family, definitely. Now, on a sort of kind of sad note, we've also had confirmation that Kira Hogan is leaving after this set of tapings. You know, we've all been quite big fans of Kira over the last sort of four or five years or so that she's been with Impact. We've watched her grow. She had a nice little run there with a title with Fire and Flavor. As one door closes for her, I'm sure that there's several that are opening up for her for the future to see where she goes. And as we all know, just because just because they're not going to be with us now, doesn't mean to say that we won't see them in the future. So, you know, good luck, Kira. Good luck, Kira. Excited to see what your next steps are. And thank you for what you've done with Impact on the Knockouts roster. You've been fantastic. Okay. I'm sure you agree, guys.
Oh, Kira Hogan has been awesome. You know, when we covered her and when we did the first series of Impacted, I said it from the beginning that Kira Hogan was going to be a star regardless. You know, it took her this long to get a belt around her waist, but the entire time she was building herself up in Impact Wrestling, she didn't need a belt to make herself stand out. She did it all through her own professional merit and her ability and her charisma. And I've been hammering that point home to a lot of people for ages that Kira Hogan, she got a belt because she deserved it in the end. That's just the fact of life. She deserved to get some sort of reward in the end, and she got rewarded perfectly. I would like to see like a title run, I must admit, but we had Tessa Blanchard, we had Taya Valkyrie, we had Jordan Grace as champions, and there just wasn't a realistic way she could beat them. So the most likely person she could have beat was Ali, and Ali was facing Sue Young at the time. So
yeah.
And you know what Sue Young does to people. she even put Kira Hogan
have,
in the
we have.
You know, she put Kira Hogan.
She
in the
did.
Coffin. Yeah. So Kira Hogan had a chance, and she sadly got sent to the Undead Realm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Where that ended.
Seriousness, though, I got nothing but respect and nothing but gratitude for Kira Hogan and what she's done in Impact Wrestling.
I mean, you look at where she was when she came in, you know, she was green as grass, weren't she, really? And now look at her, you know, she's improved so much. wherever she goes, you know, someone she's going to do well.
She's been fantastic. I mean, you know,
the only downside that you can put is really the Knockouts tag titles can't get any luck. You know, you feel like they've just got another boost with Decay coming in, and then they lose Fire and Flavor.
Yeah, it's something will work out. There will be some stability one way or another. Yeah. And this is a good push for Sasha Steels now as well.
I think the thing is, though, exactly, Joe, that's the thing. Now are we going to get, you know, Tasha Steele get pushed now as a singles competitor, which I think is probably what we are going to get, because, you know, Tasha is also, you know, awesome in her own right. So it's going to be interesting to see where Tasha goes from here now as well, as part of the Knockouts division. So the one other bit of sort of kind of main news, I suppose, that we could talk about was that Matt Cardona is just obviously beaten Nick Gage and become the GCW champion. And in what an amazing fashion. I don't know if you guys actually saw the footage of the match or anything like that, but oh my God.
I saw the aftermath.
That was afterwards.
That was awesome.
I've got to say that, you know, I remember saying to you probably about a month or so ago that the version of Matt Cardona I want to see on Impact is the GCW version of him, that we'd seen him doing promos and stuff of, like, before the lead into this title match. This is the Matt Cardona I want to see turn up at Impact Wrestling in the near future. What are your, I mean, I don't necessarily mean I want to see death matches on Impact. No, I don't necessarily want to see that, but it's the attitude and the character he's playing is what I want to see. The character. I want to see Matt Cardona, this character, turn up on Impact Wrestling, which I think would be just incredible, and prove, and well, he's already proved that there's more to him than the Zack Ryder. Or the internet champion thing. What do you think on that, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I said it previously that I was, when Myers was feuding with Jake, and then we got Cardona return, I was a bit like, oh, you know, because I wanted him to return as this character, because it already showed more outside of Impact, what, you know, in that just that short space, in that, well, 10 weeks, I was already more interested in that little run than what he done in Impact. So yeah, I wanted him to return like that, and he just seemed to return as this same character. So yeah, I'm with you. I want him to kind of play this more sort of, I don't even know what you'd call it, but it just shows more personality to him, I feel.
Yeah, to me, he's playing the role of the face in Impact Wrestling. So obviously he's going to, but the best he can do is gel the role he's playing now in Impact Wrestling, and the role he's sort of do like what Chris Jericho has done and become like a neutral character. He can incorporate the heel character a bit more now he's got Chelsea Green on the roster as well.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, like a half and half. Yeah.
Yeah. That is something that could work, definitely. But if Matt Cardona was to suddenly flip straight from face to heel like that, it wouldn't work, especially not now. But we got Homecoming coming up, and it's playing. I think it's pretty obvious who the winners are going to be outright. So I can see that there. You know, we have with Ty Valkyrie and Johnny Impact, when Impact won the World Championship, Ty Valkyrie suddenly switched to a really, really heel character. A lot more heavier than she was already. She was like a cowardly heel beforehand. Then when Johnny Impact was world champion, she went full blown nasty again.
yeah, exactly. That's interesting. You're right. You know, it would be interesting to see where all that sort of kind of like pans out. But all I know is that version of the Matt Cardona is the one that I want to see. Whether it takes a little while to turn, I don't care, but I want to see that version of him on Impact Wrestling, because I think that's what the world needs to see. They need to see how, you know, versatile and how good Matt Cardona actually is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You know, the Long Island IZ is not what he's all about. You know, there's more to him than that. I really hope that we get to see more from him.
And let's not forget that he beat, was it Nick Gage for the title?
Yeah,
and
he did.
At Slammiversary, they mentioned his name a few times, so that, you know, there is a chance.
Yeah, we could see Nick.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, who knows? I mean, he's turned up on AEW recently, hasn't he?
Mm. Yeah, didn't he have a match with Chris?
And they didn't announce that he was signed either. He's not signed. I think it was just he turned up, didn't he? He just turned up on the show.
He just turned up and had a match, and then he's doing some dark matches now, I think. He's not signed to the company.
So
it's interesting to see exactly where that's going to go, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on, because I want to sort of kind of briefly go through Homecoming, because obviously we got Homecoming coming up this Saturday on Impact Plus. So we haven't got a massive amount of information. So what I want to do is just sort of kind of like run down what we got at the moment and see what our thoughts are, and maybe discuss potential other male and female teams that they could be putting together, because we need eight. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Seven.
We need eight. And at the moment, I think,
Six or seven we got.
So at the moment, it's all about the Homecoming King and Queen tournaments. And the entrants that we've got so far, which we've already mentioned one, obviously is Matt and Chelsea. We've got Rosemary and Steve representing Decay. We've got my favourite Canadian destroyer, Petey Pump, and Sick Mama Pump, Jordan Grace. So we've also got BQ's favourite wrestler, Tommy Dreamer, and Rachel Ellering. And we have Brian Myers and a mystery opponent. Now, you know, who could this be? Is it going to be someone from the Knockouts roster, or is it a mystery because it's someone new coming in? Maybe it's a debut of somebody. You know, could it be someone like Ruby Soho, maybe, or you know, one of the sort of kind of like unsigned talents that are out there at the moment? Or do we think it's just someone on the Impact roster? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I had a little bit of a thought. Maybe it's something to do with Sue Young, but who knows? That was a thought that I had in my brain. Imagine if, you know, he comes out and introduces his you know, partner, and then Sue Young comes out. That would be interesting. All right, then. So, Susie.
Yes. Okay. Sue Young.
Interesting.
Sue Young was
something
on Twitter with the same thing.
Okay. Mm. What about you, Steve? What do you think?
To be honest, I'm just going to go with, I think it's going to be someone new.
I think it's someone new as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But like I say, I don't really know who, although I think it's going to be someone that will, mate, I'm gonna pick this as the team to win it, because I think that we're gonna have to at some point make this Beale and Myers team, or Beale at some point has got to do something where Myers is gonna say, okay, you're taking my advice and this is going well, and him picking a good partner to win him the competition could be something he says, okay, you're now being professional.
Yeah, well, then of course him bringing someone like Susie in, you can see it go the other way. You can see Myers going absolutely batshit crazy again. It's a double-edged sword, and it's gonna be awesome regardless.
I'm going to say this now. I honestly think it's going to be a debut of a new star, because I don't see the point in sort of kind of doing the whole mystery thing if you're not going to bring in someone fresh. So I think it's going to be someone fresh. When we're talking about Susie, I think Susie would be a great partner for Sam Beale. I mean, you could imagine him being all, you know, because Susie as a character is that sort of kind of, you know, naive girl or whatever. Probably the only person that Sam, as his character that he's portraying, could get in the ring.
I love this idea from Mark Beale in drag.
Yeah, yes, Sam Beal with drag. That would be fantastic. That would be really cool. But you know, it's interesting. I'm to be fair, I'm hoping it's a new knockout. I think it would be really cool because, you know, at the end of the day, Brian, you know, he's gonna know a lot of the top stars that are out there. So maybe it's an old girlfriend or something like that. I don't know. I'm sure. I'm hoping it's a new knockout. But somebody did mention in the chat, and this is interesting. Maybe it's the new Kimberly character.
Yeah, could
be.
Because Kimber is definitely going through some kind of rebirth. She was dragged in. The last that we saw of her, she was dragged into that room by Susan after informing her that she's known about Sue Young all along.
Yeah.
I'm interested in seeing if maybe it could be Kimberly as a new character.
Possibly.
That could be very, very interesting. Definitely. Yeah, that could be very interesting. Or maybe even Tasha Steeles. I mean, you know, or could it be Kira Hogan? You know, I don't know. I think that there's definitely, you know, a possibility. It could be quite a few people. But thinking about it further on, I mean, who do you think else, who else do you think could add to the teams that we've got already? You know, from the current roster. I mean, who would you see coming in? I mean, I posed something on Twitter earlier in the week that, you know, Decay, for instance, could actually physically have two teams represented in this tournament, because you could also have, not only would you have Rosemary and Steve, you could also have Taurus and Havoc.
Yeah. That's one that's most could go come in. And Alicia Edwards and Johnny Swinger, or Alicia Edwards and Hernandez. Because Alicia Edwards has mentioned that she's interested in going, and Eddie Edwards is now facing Morrissey, so she's got to find somebody else.
Yeah. Mm. And actually, Mark's pointed out that as it stands at the moment, there's no knockout title defense on this card. There's no real title defenses at all on this card. Deanna's not been mentioned at all. So could she be partnering with somebody?
Maybe. And like I say, we haven't really seen anything from Macklin, or we've seen a lot from a lot of vignettes of this, and I don't know what name's going by, but this drama king, maybe he'll be involved.
There you go. You know, there's a possibility. And Laker has just put it in the chat now, saying that Macklin and Deanna, you know, maybe it could be Macklin and Deanna. You know, they're sort of like
pairs. One of the team, I think, definitely, like, I don't know if you mentioned it, but obviously you think Caleb and Tennille will be there.
Yeah, but that's the other one I've thought for. It would be the other one. It could be Caleb and Tennille, or Black Teresa and Havoc. And then Alicia Edwards and Johnny Swinger, or Alicia Edwards and Hernandez would be the ones that I'd put in.
Yeah, so definitely. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I think they're being they're keeping everything very close to the chest, because they've not released anything so far that I'm aware of who's going to be facing who in the first round or anything like that. We've not seen the first round come up yet. So I'm sure that tomorrow night on Impact, we'll get a little bit more information.
Yeah.
Who's going to be in the tournament?
Yeah, it's good that it's a bit close to the chest, to be honest. Look how good the Super X Cup was when it came out in Genesis, because everything was so under wrap, you know. And that'd be just good enough as it is, because this whole event is basically just a spin off from everything at the moment to let everything settle down after the anniversary. So that's one of the reasons why Tommy Dreamer is back in the ring, BQ.
Yeah, definitely. And the fact that the fans are back, all he ever said was that he found it difficult wrestling without fans in the arena. So, you know, now there's fans, he's giving it another crack. You know, I think he needs to get his ass back in the gym if he's going to wrestle, but there you go.
That's the one team to me that makes no sort of sense, though.
Oh, Tommy Dreamer is a mentor to Rachel Ellering. And Tommy Dreamer helped bring her into Impact Wrestling.
Okay, it makes a little more sense then.
Yeah, so there's a lot of history between Tommy Dreamer and a lot of the knockouts on the roster. So
yeah, there is history there, definitely. Yeah.
It would have been Dreamer and the Shredders otherwise.
Now, the other thing is that we've got here is obviously there's only one other match. I'm not sure. I'm assuming that the final of the Homecoming King and Queen tournament is actually the main event. I'm assuming, because that's what the show is primarily, is that, isn't it? But there's another match that's been added to the card, which is Eddie Edwards versus W. Morrissey in a hardcore match. Now, I mean, this past week on Impact, or last Thursday, obviously we had that outside in the parking lot brawl thing with Eddie, you know, ending up with two kendo sticks and sending Morrissey running. You know, I thought this was actually a really good segment. I like the way they sort of kind of like built into it as well. It wasn't too long and it wasn't too short. Because sometimes you have a tendency that when you go into these kind of like, it wasn't really a cinematic, but it was, I mean, you could say it's more of a produced match, I guess. You know, or outside of a ring match, shall we say. Sometimes they can just go on too long. And what I liked about this one was that it was just about enough so that you were sort of kind of, you know, do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying?
It was like when Sami Callihan was beating Tessa Blanchard up outside the in the parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, did you see how many views that got?
Yeah.
It was like over 1 million views.
Yeah,
that segment got. So if you ever need to, if you ever doubt that Tessa Blanchard brought views to Impact Wrestling, there is your answer right there. So I think this is going to be an interesting one. I found it a bit odd that it's been added, like, you know, all of a sudden. So you've got this sort of kind of like intergender sort of kind of tag tournament thing going on, and then all of a sudden you've got a hardcore match. I don't know. It's to me, it seemed a little bit odd to have this particular match on the show. But go on. Sorry, Steve. What are you saying?
I guess you need something to break it up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, Jonas has had.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, Jonas has had Willie Mack as one of the matches to break up the whole tournament, and that's basically what this match is for Homecoming.
Yeah, I am having a few delay issues, all right, so please bear with me, all right? Sorry, so if I suddenly come in over the top of you, I don't mean it, okay?
No,
I'm just
fine.
Letting you know. But for me, it's almost like it's the match that's going to happen before the final of the tournament.
That's what I'm saying too.
Yeah, I think that's how I see it. It's going to be interesting how this one goes. I'm definitely invested in it because, again, we know Eddie Edwards is an amazing hardcore wrestler. We know that W. Morrissey is a beast and clearly could take some punishment because we had a little, you know, we've had a little teaser of it already. So, and they both proved that they're not holding back on each other either from Slammiversary. So I'm actually really looking forward to this match. In fact, this is probably going to be my favorite match of the night. Depending on whether Rosemary and Steve win, obviously.
What about Rosemary?
I think if Rosemary and Steve win this one, I would be absolutely, because like I know that the obvious choice is Matt and Chelsea, but I just feel that Decay at the moment are on a bit of a run, and it would be pretty awesome the weirdest prom king and queen ever would be Crazy Steve and Rosemary. How weird would it? It'd be the craziest prom queens or whatever you want to call it ever, wouldn't it?
But it's called Homecoming, and Rosemary and Steve, to a degree, are two homegrown talents.
Yes,
there you go. There you go, my friend. There you go. That makes perfect sense as well. What are your thoughts, guys, in the chat? Who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to end up in the final? And who do you think is going to win? I honestly believe our final is going to be Matt and Chelsea versus Rosemary and Steve. That's what I think on this one. So what are your thoughts on it? Let us know what you think. What do you think? Who do you think is going to be in the final, Joe?
I think it's going to be Matt and Chelsea versus Brian Myers and whoever his partner is. I would like it to be Rosemary and Crazy Steve, but I think it's going to be Matt and Chelsea versus Brian Myers and his mystery partner, and then Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green are going to win. That's how I see it. I see it going the so obvious way, but it doesn't take anything away that I'm excited to see this whole event, because Chelsea Green coming back was awesome. That was one of the big highlights of Slammiversary was to see Chelsea Green come back. And
that was one of your favorite moments. It was one of mine too.
It brought out something up new in Matt Cardona as well, and we've seen that already.
Oh yeah, definitely. And what about you then, Steve? What are your thoughts? Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
be brave. Be brave.
I was going to say it's difficult to call with only knowing like half the teams, because we may have like two teams in the final that aren't even announced yet. But as of what
that's the beauty of it.
But as of what we've got, I'm going to stick and just say I think it'll be Myers and the mystery partner winning it. On the Eddie Edwards and Morrissey match, I really hope that we go like start in the ring, and I hope they go like all over the building and even outside, because it's been years since we've seen a match that goes everywhere and even to the outside, you know, out they take it out of the building and into the streets and then back in the building. You know, when do you see that anymore?
I think it's definitely going to start outside the building. I think the whole reason why Eddie Edwards brought Morrissey back into the parking lot, apart from him being jumped there the week before, was so the match is going to start or finish in the parking lots. So they're definitely going to be fighting out throughout the building. You know, the last time we saw something like that, I think, was Decay versus the Hardys back at Bound for Glory 2016. And Sami Callihan and Tessa Blanchard has something similar, but the last big match like that was Decay and the Hardys, when Decay lost the titles to the Hardys, and that was awesome.
I wonder if you're coming from that match.
So we've got what's interesting, we've got quite a lot of diverse answers in the chat coming through. We've got some agreeing about Chelsea. Mm-hmm. We've got quite a few people agreeing with myself there with regards to Decay winning. We've got somebody saying Keith Coleman is saying that he thinks that the pumps. So I guess that's Dick Lumber Pump and Petey Pump. Acker, the pumps are going to win, which is I quite like that. The pumps tag team, I like it. You know, I think that's probably a good call. It could be the case, definitely. So yeah, really good. And do you know what? There's something I want to mention talking about Thick Mama Pump. I just want to say a big shout out to Jordan Grace, actually. This week she took part in a powerlifting contest where she broke national records. You know, she is a true strong woman
She broke three records, and two of them were like state records, and one was a national record. And she had Rachel Ellering there with her the entire time.
It's awesome.
Which was awesome. Yes. You know, Rachel Ellering was absolutely emotional throughout the whole thing. If you look at her Twitter feed, she was crying all the way through the whole thing. She was so proud of her.
It was amazing. When you saw her, doing a video of it, you could hear her in the background screaming and everything. It's, you know, absolutely fantastic. And I am going to mention this one because I think BQ's worst nightmare, Hakeem, would be Dreamer and Rachel Ellering winning. Winning the tournament. I think that would be I'd like to be a fly in the room if that actually happened, for BQ there, because I think he would absolutely hit the roof if that happened. But there you go. Fair play. You could do shots fired if you want, but yeah, so it should be good. And like I say, I hope Impact highlights her achievements as well. You're right there, Swag Fan 100. I don't know, is that what you say? Is it Swag, or do we just go SWAC fan? I don't know. Anyway, but it is fantastic. An achievement for her. And I know that one of her goals is actually to compete at the Olympics in powerlifting. So maybe that is part of the reason why she decided to sign for Impact rather than potentially moving on anywhere else. Because, you know, if she went to WWE, for instance, you know, maybe she wouldn't have been able to put in the time to be able to train to achieve that goal. So who knows? You know, I know that's one of her goals. So, you know, I hope, and I will certainly be supporting her all the way if that's said. And Hakeem, you're 100% right. He would absolutely rage quit and change his channel to NWA Lounge or something like that. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Can we have a shots fired for Hakeem there? That would be absolutely perfect. But anyway, so I think it's interesting how this sort of kind of thing would pan out. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Decay. I know what you're saying with regards to Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona. But I'm going to go with Decay on this one. So because we haven't really got that much more information with regards to homecoming, I think we'll leave it there with that and look forward to maybe doing a bit of a review of that next week, boys. Just so everyone know, I'm actually potentially not around. I might do a run-in on the road. So I'm actually away next Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday visiting my family that live 200 miles away. And it's the first time I've seen them in such a long time. So I haven't been to my hometown now for 3 years, because the last time I went there was literally about 6 months or so. It might have been longer, actually, maybe 8 months, maybe 10 months or so prior to the pandemic. And then, of course, once the pandemic hit, that was it. So that's been going on for nearly 18 months. So we're getting on for 3 years. So I'm actually looking forward to going back and getting some cider. So if anybody knows, I'm actually from the West Country. So the Bristolian Bison, of course. So I'm looking forward to getting some cider, visiting my brother in Cheddar. So I'll be coming back with some cheddar cheese. So I'm looking forward to that. So I think it's going to be possibly Jay is going to be joining you guys next week on the show. So it'll be, are you away actually next week, Steve?
No, Steve's away the week afterwards. Steve's away the week afterwards. Yes.
Okay. So it's going to be brother Joe, brother Steve. And I believe the Lakers hard cider, brother. Yeah, definitely. We're going to get some scrumpy. We're going to get on the scrumpy. So it's going to be great. But, oh, mate, I'm going to be bringing some of that bad boy stuff home, and I might actually open up some of that bad stuff on the show 1 week and show you guys what proper scrumpy is all about. But there you go. So I am a cider drinker.
Me too.
Love a bit of cider. So, so it's all good. So it's going to be good. I think Jay's going to possibly step in as well to help you guys out a little bit. And I'm going to hopefully, because I think I'll be traveling home when the show's going on. So what I might do is if I stop off at the services or maybe if I get Wife of Bison driving, I might pop in on my phone and say hello to everybody, have a little run in. That'd be interesting. If one bit of services have a comfort break or something, I might jump in. But you never know. You never know. But it would be good to have Jay on the show, that's for sure. Okay, so let's move on to tomorrow night on Impact. We've got the BTI match, which has been announced as Steve Maclin versus Trey Miguel. Now, I know that this one has caused quite a stir online. Now, you know, who's the guy that's going to win on this one? Because you've got, obviously, Trey Miguel. You've got Steve Maclin, who's currently undefeated. Trey Miguel, obviously, you know, is a fantastic wrestler, a top guy in the roster. So who do we think is going to win on this one? I think, you know, it's a tough one to call. I'm going to say that to keep Trey from losing, I have a funny feeling that we might get a debut on BTI. But I'm thinking Wesley Blake is going to come in and interfere, and we're going to end up with a tag team of Maclin and Blake. What are your thoughts on this one, Joe?
I think Steve Macklin's going to win. I think they're going to. I haven't seen it, but I know he's put out a promo where he's actually talking finally. But before this night, before tomorrow night's Impact Wrestling, and he's talking about this match and really wanting some competition. So, you know, he had Suicide and he upped his game there and absolutely destroyed him. And now he's got to up it even further with Trey Miguel. I think it's going to be a really close match, but I think Maclin's going to just beat Trey Miguel. But it's not going to be easy, and it's definitely going to be another reason to just tune into BTI and sit back and enjoy the last 20 minutes, because this match is going to go for a while.
Yeah, I think it's potentially going to be a long one. I don't know whether it's one of those ones that might spill over into the actual Impact show itself, possibly. What about you, Steve? What do you think?
Yeah, like Joe said, like we've seen with each of Macklin's matches, like each one seems to be getting tested that little bit more, and this one with Trey is going to test him like to the limit. I do think he'll come out victorious, but I think it'll be like we saw with Morrissey and Edwards. You know, he's maybe going to have to just go to that, that little depth where he has to really either sort of pull out something special or maybe use a tactic that he didn't think he'd have to use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's won cleanly in every single one of his matches so far, but he's still like a heel wrestler. So something's got to give at some point. You know, he's angry, so he's not going to be an angry baby face.
I think what's interesting with regards to Steve Macklin is some people are just not quite getting the gimmick. They don't get it. And, you know, I said this before, you need to watch the Netflix Punisher series because he is literally following that character to the T, in a sense of that he comes out, he's a badass fighter, you know, he's a war veteran, he's coming out, you know, and he's, you know, he's a badass. He gets into his fight, but then he gets to a point in that fight where all of a sudden the rage takes over. And you can see it. You physically see him like almost Hulk out, I guess, but in a more modern way. And just suddenly, like, you know, he's like, and then off he goes.
Terrifying.
To me, the
he gets terrifying.
To me, the moment seems to be like he's on top of the match, and then whoever he's facing seems to get a few like hits in on him, and he has that moment where he's like, "How dare you hit me?" And then, you know, and then that's when the switch is like, he's like, you can't touch me. And I'll come back at you twice as hard.
Or if things are going too easy for him, you know, he puts them in the tree of woe and he's there shouting at them while they're in the tree of woe. Yeah. Like everything's too easy for him. And he's just angry about that.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
Exactly. You know, it's like, oh, my God, he's actually got some offense in me.
That exact sort of feeling. It will be interesting to sort of see, like, cause I think Trey will give him a great match, but I still think he'll come out like with something left in him. It will be interesting to see who that first person is that will really run him ragged.
Yeah, and it would be someone like Trey because Trey is so fast, you know, and. Yeah, and as Mark said, Spider Trey, he's got so many tricks and in his arsenal, you know.
Well, because he's changed his arsenal now, hasn't he? To like submissions as well, everything now as well.
Yeah, he's almost
he's got so much. He is, you know, Trey for me is such an all round wrestler. You know, the only thing that obviously you won't get from him is power moves, because at the end of the day, he's not built to do power moves. He's not a power move wrestler, you know. But he's definitely got the speed. He's got the submissions. He's got the combination stuff. He's also got the X factor when it comes to like, you know, things like the power. The power slide into a toe, you know. I mean, he's just incredible stuff. He's just an incredible wrestler, and he's definitely got the passion. That's for sure. He's definitely got the passion.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm a little bit torn on this one. I think it's going to be one of those where there's some interference. I honestly believe that they're not going to want either guys to lose. So it's going to be shenanigans for me. I think shenanigans are going to happen. I think it'll also be the first time we've seen shenanigans in a BTI match. Am I right?
Yeah, it will be the first time if there is something like that happening.
Yeah,
you're right on that one.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens. We then move into the show. Is that Sammy? Is Sammy making an appearance?
No, that's Star telling him off.
Okay, fair enough. So we then move on into the actual show. Now, obviously, we don't know the order any of these matches are going to go in. So I've put them in order that I think they will happen. So we've got Ace, Fulton, Rohit, and Shearer versus Finn Juice, Fala, and No Way. I noticed the way that they made it very clear that it's No Way and not No Way Jose. So, which is really cool. And I did notice that he's, because I do check the roster page every now and again. I did notice that No Way has actually turned up on the roster page. So I'm assuming that he's actually, so I think he must be signed to at least some kind of, you know, even if it's a short-term deal, you know, to Bang for Glory or something like that, you know. He's that they've obviously got plans for him, otherwise they wouldn't have put him up there. So it's good to see that. So this is going to be interesting because obviously, you know, Ace, Fulton, Rohit, Shearer are the bad guys, they're the heels, and Finn Juice, Fala, No Way are going to be the faces in this match. What do you see happening in this one then, guys? I'm a bit stumped on this one because I think the heels are going to come away with a win. What are your thoughts on this one, Joe?
I think things are going to fall apart between Ace and Fulton and Rohit and Shearer. But they're going to end up basically infighting amongst themselves, and Finn Juice are going to get the victory. And then we're going to get Ace and Fulton versus Shearer and Rohit the week afterwards.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. What about you, Steve? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Joe on this one. Like the match feels like it's just been thrown together to get all four sort of together. And I mean, I was really impressed with Fala and No Way sort of at Slammiversary. And to be honest, I think I'd rather them stay together than Fala and TJP. But if you're going to, what we feel, push Finn Juice towards the titles, then you don't really want them to lose. And if Rohit and Ace kind of are going to stick together, where's that going to really get them?
What's it going to do for Fulton and Shearer
kind of have them feud, break them apart. I can only see Finn Juice and Fala winning this.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm going to sit on the fence on this one because I'm honestly not sure where this one is going to go. You know, I mean, obviously for me, I'm a big Ace fan. And I'm also a Fala fan as well, and Rohit fan. So it's difficult for me on this one. I'm not sure. I think they're not going to bring Finn Juice back to lose. So I think you're right. I think Finn Juice will probably end up getting the win for their team. So, and like you say, maybe it'll come because there is dissension in the ranks of the Ace, Fulton, Rohit and Shearer combination. So, I think maybe it's going to be a face win on this one, I think, definitely. So we then move on to the Diener and Rhino VBD versus Swan and Mac. As we found out last week, the VBD are blaming Swan and Mac for the fact that they lost their titles. You know, what are your thoughts on this one? Because this, for me, this is really difficult because, again, you know, Swan and Mac is a really, really good tag team. You know, there was the possibility at one point that they were going to stick the straps on them. So, you know, let's face the facts. You've got Swan, who's was X Division champion, also former world champion. You've got Willie Mack, who's a former X Division champion. You've got some great pedigree in them as a team. But at the same time, obviously, Diener and Rhino or VBD, you know, they're the most recent, VBD, the most recent champions. You know, what could we see coming out of this one? I'm finding this one difficult because I'd like to see Swan and Mac win, but BBD as a faction need to still be strong. Otherwise, they're being shown to be weak. What do you think on this one, Steve?
Well, like you said, it's an interesting match. And to begin with, I wasn't even sure why the match was happening. But then I guess following No Way were unproven to a degree, and they couldn't go straight after the Good Brothers, so Swan and Mac were the only ones left. But I'd gone back and forth as to who I thought would win, and something EY said in his promo, which is they're going to hold on to their rematch clause, leads me to think that maybe Swan and Mac are going to win this, because if they're holding on to their rematch clause, they've already got a bye straight into the title picture, whereas Swan and Mac have to earn their way into that title picture.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Yeah, I'm
down with that. Yeah, I'm definitely down with that as a you know what you're saying there. I 100% agree with that. And you sort of kind of sway me towards it. So it'd be interesting. Again, what about you, Joe? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree with Steve. I mentioned this to the guys at Wrestle Buddy where I joined them on Saturday, that Eric Young has said that Violent by Design are keeping their rematch clause in. But it doesn't. They might not be going after the Good Brothers for the tag team titles. They might be going after Finn Juice when they eventually beat the Good Brothers, because we can see that happening. And or we could see them go after Rich Swann and Willie Mack. But Eric Young said that this week, Rich Swann and Willie Mack are going to pay, and they're going to pay for it severely. So we could even see them being taken out of the picture completely. Something feels really, really disturbing about this match, and maybe that's just Eric Young being just absolutely badass at promos. But after that promo last week, and Eric Young was saying that this has happened because of Rich Swann and Willie Mack, so we're gonna do this to them. All week I've been thinking, is someone else gonna get injured, or who what's gonna happen?
But yeah,
whatever happens,
it's
so tense. Like, want Thursday night to hurry up so I can see Eric Young power drive Rich Swann and Willie Mack, or Willie Mack, and see what happens.
Although when they done that when they done that moment in the in like the backstage bit, I was wondering if Violent by Design had got come into cahoots with ICU. All the lights went off and everything. You're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. You just don't know, do you? You just don't know where things are going to go, because and that's the thing, they intertwine stuff so like easily as well. You know, who's going to turn up on this, who's going to do that, who's going to suddenly be with who. You know, I think it's that's one of the great things about Impact Wrestling for me, is the way that they do intertwine the storylines, and everything somewhere has a tie-in. You know, even if it's something very small, there's always a little tie-in somewhere. There's always a reason for it, even if you can't see it straight away. Okay, so interesting one there. What are your thoughts on this one, guys, in the chat? Let us know what you think. You know, are we going to see Dina and Rhino, VBD, beat Swan and Mac, or where do you think this one's going? We then get into, which I think is going to be, you know, the match to just before the main event, which is Moose versus Sabin rematch from Slammiversary. Now, this match at Slammiversary was absolutely incredible. So I'm not expecting anything less, because there's no point in redoing them. There's no point in, you know, having a rematch unless it's going to be just as badass, if not better. So I'm looking forward to this one. I think, you know, Moose is probably going to get his win on this one, because you can't have him lose again to Sabin. But what are your thoughts on this in the chat? Let us know what you think, because you know, let us know what you think on this rematch. What about what are your thoughts on this one, Joe? I know you're a big Moose fan, so
I'm still amazed at how Chris Sabin won the match. You know, he took such a beating in that match, and getting that powerbomb onto the side of the ring, I didn't think he'd get up from that. Because where his back snapped back on that, that was just incredible. And part of me thinks Moose is going to lose, but I'm also thinking that they need to start building Moose for Bound for Glory. So if they have him lose now, it's not going to be the best of starts, and they're going to have to have him. He's going to lose and then go on a huge destructive path, like we've already seen. And Is that really worth repeating it all over again, or should we just have Moose plow through? But I think Moose is going to lose, because I think we're going to get Sabin versus Kenny Omega before we get Moose versus Kenny Omega again at Bound for Glory. So I think we'll get Sabin versus Omega on Impact Wrestling, and then we'll get Moose versus Omega at Bound for Glory.
Interesting. I can't see Moose losing again, because that really would make him look weak. But what about you, Steve? What do you think?
Well, unless something, I have been wrong a lot, but I just can't see Moose winning, because like he lost at Slammiversary and then they're having a rematch 2 weeks later. And let's say Moose wins, why not just have him win at Slammiversary?
Yeah,
you know, nothing in 2 weeks is going to change. Just have him win the first match.
I think the reason for that is so that they can prolong it. You've got to remember that at the moment they're trying to keep Moose out of the, you know, away from Omega, because I think that's the thing. They need to keep him away from Omega.
Yeah, this is worse.
I get that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but yeah, in 2 weeks,
Well, I mean, let's face the facts. It's Slammiversary. It was a great match, but Moose is pretty much on top all of it.
Mm.
You know, it was, for me, Sabin kind of got a lucky win. You know, that again is why it was such a surprise for me, because it was a bit like the surprise roll-up. You know what I mean? It's like, well, fuck, where did that come from? Because Moose, in reality, was completely on top in that match. And you know, like said in his promo, he was on top. So when they come in again, I honestly believe that Moose is going to win. But someone's mentioned in the chat that it would be a good way, if Moose wins, to set up a best of three. So you know, you'll get Sabin saying, "Well, it's just one all, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, so we better have another one, and then that prolongs it a little bit longer." If you know what I mean, you
and
know,
everyone wins.
Yeah, everyone wins, because they again get another badass match.
Yeah.
Maybe at homecoming, or maybe I don't think it will be, because by the time you've added in the extra matches, the extra teams to the tournament, and you've got the hardcore match, that's 8 matches in total. So I don't think there is another match to be added to that. But, you know, we've got other Impact Plus specials coming. We've got, you know, we've got lots of wrestling to come before we get to Bound for Glory. Lots of storytelling, lots of matches. So that there definitely could be a third match with those two, you know, in mind, definitely. Now, I mean, someone also mentioned they think that this is going to be the main event. You're probably right. It probably will be the main event. I just thought the fact that you've got Jay White, you know, competing with Bay would possibly nip it for the main event. I don't know. But the next match that we've got on the card is obviously the in-ring appearance, or, you know, debut of Jay White with Chris Bay versus the Good Brothers. Now, we know that Jay White is looking to recruit Chris Bay to be part of the Bullet Club. We had the thing going on at the end of last week's show, but it wasn't like, you know, he came out and helped Jay White, but it wasn't necessarily, you know, oh, I'm now part of the, I'm accepting your invitation to be part of the Bullet Club. It may be that this match is sort of kind of like his initiation. And then at the end of it, you know, he's part of the Bullet Club, or maybe he'll just come out and he will be wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt or something, and that will make stuff right. You know what I mean? I know it's been confirmed, Lakers, that Chris is part of the Bullet Club, but that's a spoiler which has come out from the tapings. We haven't yet seen that on Impact TV. So it's going to be interesting to see how they sort of kind of pull off Chris Bay becoming a full member of the Bullet Club. I'm excited about him becoming a member of the Bullet Club, because what I feel is that by introducing a Impact member of the roster into the Bullet Club, it's almost kind of solidifying that relationship between New Japan Pro Wrestling and Impact Wrestling. Because now it's not so easy to just turn it off, is it? Because now you've got a fully contracted member of the Impact roster in the club.
Yeah.
So, you know, be, and that also opens it up for him to go over to, you know, more New Japan Pro Wrestling stuff. It opens it up to get more Bullet Club members over onto Impact. I mean, imagine Ishimori coming back. That would be amazing.
Oh, fantastic.
But coming back is the, is it the bone? When... Well, the, is it the Bone Soldier? It's Bone Soldier, isn't it?
He's the Bone Soldier.
So if he was to come back, yeah, if he was to come back as the Bone Soldier, I think that would be absolutely amazing.
That was my initial reaction. Again, we get him over.
And what I do think is what we've got brewing here now with the fact that Jay White is like to say that the Good Brothers are just basically like old school and, that, you know, yeah, they're just yesterday's news kind of thing. I think we're also building to a, obviously, a Bullet Club versus the Elite. Now, if we could start getting Impact members into the Bullet Club, you know, that also works as well. So not only have we got to get possibly the Bullet Club versus the Elite, we're also going to get, you know, the Impact roster, you know, the Impact guys against the Elite as well. So it's going to get, I think it's going to start, the Elite are really building up a lot of enemies.
Yeah.
I think is where we're at with this one. I don't know. What do you think the outcome is on this one? I think Chris Bay's actually going to pin one of the Good Brothers, but there you go. So what are your thoughts on this one, Joe?
Yeah, I think Jay White or Chris Bay is going to get the fall. And at the end of the match, before Chris Bay walks out of the ring, Jay White's going to hand him the shirt and then say to him, are you going to put it on? Are you one of us? Or, you know, and so the whole match is like Jay White's, like you said, it's the initiation for Chris Bay. Is he going to do it? Can they work? Does he think they can work together? Because Chris Bay's still on the fence, but do I need a partner? Do I need to work with these guys or not? So the match will be Chris Bay will make.
Yeah,
Chris
that's interesting.
And that this will be at the end of it we'll see Chris Bay in the Bullet Club. I don't need spoilers to tell me that. I can see it coming. You know, Chris Bay's the perfect guy to put in, and they, like you said, to bridge the gap between New Japan and Impact Wrestling, and say this is now a working relationship, and then we could have Taji Ishimori back. Which would be great because I really was hoping that he'd come back for Slammiversary with New Japan working with Impact Wrestling. So it would be great to see him come in. And then because we've got the Elite versus the Bullet Club, which is why I've been saying that the direction is now going between Impact versus the AEW. It's now Impact versus the Elite, and now it's the Bullet Club versus the Elite. So Don Callis is bringing all enemies onto himself. It's just perfect, and it's amazing to think who else could come. I can't think of anyone else in the Bullet Club off the top of my head, but you know, the fact that Jay White's here to begin with is awesome.
Oh yeah, without doubt. So what about you, Steve? What are your thoughts on this one and where this one's going to go? Because I think for me, this is probably the biggest story for the show tomorrow.
It is, yeah. And for me, I mean, the obvious one is for Bay to win the match. Or for Bay to basically do a lot of the heavy lifting, and then to tag White in and White get the pin, you know. But either way, I think, you know, Jay White and Chris Bay are going to win it. But I do love the fact that you've got Chris Bay in this position. And for me, and I don't want to sound like a party pooper or anything, but Chris Bay being in this storyline really saved the segment. With Jay White, you know, being what the segment he was in, because up until then I wasn't really digging. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Don Callis. Okay. Don Callis bragging. Like, you know, I like that Don Callis is ranting in that.
It wasn't even bragging to me.
Yeah, you needed something else to add to it. And the fact that Chris Bay, he's one of the last guys you'd expect to go to the Bullet Club. I know he's done a lot of work in Japan, but he's like,
One of my things I would say is that I sort of kind of agree a little bit with Trent, what he said on the review show after last week on Thursday, where he was saying that Jay White sort of kind of comes across as sort of a heely character, but he's very softly spoken. So I don't know if it's his accent and whatever. So when he's talking, you don't really get a sense of sort of badass, do you? He doesn't sound like a badass. Do you know what I mean?
The thing I thought about Yeah, but yeah, the thing I sort of found was like, you know, you didn't really know why he was here, but he turned up and then he sort of says, you know, I'm a New Japan wrestler. I'm here to see another New Japan wrestler and we're having a fight on a New Japan show. And, you know, it's nothing to do with Impact.
Yeah.
And it was very much like, well, why are you doing this on Impact then? I mean,
I'm going to throw this wide open, Steve, right? You've got to get out of the mindset of, yes, we are Impact fans now, okay? But the world of professional wrestling is changing to be more of a interpromotional thing, right? Okay, so we've seen it now that they're starting to interpromote it. You know, to promote an upcoming pay-per-view match with Jay White appearing on Impact Wrestling is not, sorry, goes along with exactly what they're trying to do for me, right? So I get it 100%.
I don't have an issue with it, but if you watch New Japan, Josh Alexander was there before Slammiversary and they did not promote Slammiversary.
I don't know. I mean, we could say that I didn't watch that show, so I can't say anything, but I'll just take your word for that.
Yeah.
So I'll take your word for that. But what I have seen is New Japan Pro Wrestling promoting Impact all over their social media. So again, I think it's small steps. I think the Impact have a lot to prove to a lot of these guys, because, you know, like you say, with New Japan, there was a bridge that was burned there in the past. There was a bridge burned with Ring of Honor. There's been bridges burned with NWA, etc. in the past. You know, so at the moment, in reality, it's almost like Impact to the promotion that have to show that it's different now.
Yeah, right? Impact has to show it's not TNA.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's not TNA anymore, right? It's Impact Wrestling. It's a new era. We're moving forward. Yeah, we want to change the way it's been in the past, because there is no reason why, you know, people can't. It's like you say, like the old feds back in the old days. You had, you know, NWA wrestlers turning up in, you know, some Southwest promotion or some other promotions all over the country. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. It's, you know, the way it happens. It's the way it needs to be, and it's great. You know, all the Impact matches, New Japan stars are on New Japan World, right? Mark has stated that. That is true, right? So they are promoting Impact Wrestling. But at the moment, because I think it's Impact that got the most to sort of kind of prove, they're the ones that I think are trying the hardest to promote everything else that's going on around. Say, look, let's promote it on our show. We want your fans to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know what I mean? We want that to happen. Yeah. You know, so it's a case of like, it's just helping each other out. I mean, you know, I get it. There's a lot of people out there that just watch Impact Wrestling. They've got no idea who Jay White is. So this is a way to prove out how this happens. You know, a Jay White is an incredible wrestler. And you're going to find out, if you've never seen Jay White wrestle, you're going to find out tomorrow night, right? He's a great wrestler. So, and, you know, they have a lot of eyes on that product. They have a lot of eyes all over the world, in Japan, in America. There's a lot more eyes that watch New Japan than watch Impact, right?
Yeah.
Which to me is weird. It's weird because, you know, like, Impact are a North American promotion, yet more people watch a Japanese promotion than they do a North American promotion. To me, that's odd. But there's got to be a way of winning these guys over. And if they can start promoting, you know, getting people like Josh Alexander over on New Japan so that those fans are seeing them, they're going to go, well, bloody hell, this is a great wrestler. You know, you would want to see a bit more of this guy. So they'll start tuning into Impact Wrestling. Or they'll at least start looking stuff up, you know, and then hopefully, you know, eventually over time, then the impression that people have of Impact Wrestling in the past will change. It just, but it takes time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. And the big issue that I have with a lot of people that happen online is they're like, oh, we're not seeing anything. Numbers aren't improving, this, that, and the other. But, man, you know, it probably is. You're just not seeing it because, like, you know, is it always about the weekly show? Or are we getting more people turn up on Twitch? Are we getting more people go on YouTube? Are we getting more people buy the pay-per-views? Yes, we are. We know that.
Yeah. No. Unless we're, you know, it's already been your business.
No, it wouldn't, you know, they would have given up on it ages ago if it wasn't, if something wasn't working. If it wasn't working, they would have given up on it by now. So something must be working. Something must be working. Yeah. And I'm excited to see where this goes. And I think the fact that it's all opened up, you know, the fact that we've got NWA getting involved now, I'm excited about that. You know, I'm excited to see what comes next. And I'm still telling you now, I know it's going to happen. I've got this in my head. They are definitely 100% going to introduce a one-hour knockouts-only show on Access TV. I think it might be a Saturday night, but let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. But yeah, so I'm excited about all the way this is going. And you're right, Mark. I am preaching. I am preaching.
Impact Hallelujah.
The forbidden door, working relationship. Hallelujah. That's all I've got to say on that, man. So so I think I'm excited about the way things are going. And people, we just need to, you know, get away from our old way of thinking about things.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to start, you know, looking at this, the wrestling business as a whole. I think once we start doing that and all these people start working together, it's going to be a much, much better place. I can't wait. Can we get
an amen in the chat?
Amen.
Can we get an amen in the chat?
Let's get an amen, Barbara. Let's get an amen. That would be good. I'm conscious that we're getting pretty close on time now. So can I just say, you know, make sure you tune in tomorrow because I think tomorrow BTI is going to be great. I honestly think the Impact show is going to be good tomorrow. There's some interesting storylines being built up. I can't wait to see, you know, the next sort of intergender teams that we've got coming up for Homecoming. If Homecoming's not your thing, fair enough. I pretty much watch it all because I know that regardless of anything else, you're going to get accumulation of storylines. You're going to get some new stuff leading into the following week. So I'm excited to watch it. I'll be watching it. And I hope you guys are too on Impact Plus. I may even get involved in some kind of watch along. You never know. But it would be good. I'm sure you guys are going to be watching anyway. Now, can I just say, please don't forget to head over to the TNI Patreon for exclusive extra content when you sign up. And also make sure you watch tomorrow night's TNI flagship Impact Live review directly after the show has aired on Twitch and YouTube. They always pop out the don't forget you've got the watch along as well. So I believe Jay will be doing that. So if you want to join on the watch along, if you're in the UK, obviously, you know, that's about 1 o'clock in the morning. But if you're I'm going to sleep, I think, and I'll be turning up. I'll be turning up about 3-ish to watch it on Impact Plus. Just make sure that you tune in, guys. The review show is fantastic. One of my favorite shows that I listen to every single week without fail. I don't get involved in the live because it's just too early for me. Make sure that you guys make sure you watch if you're in the UK or US, you know, or on replays or wherever you listen to your favorite shows, we're going to be there. So TNI shows are also available on the go, audio only, via SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Everything replays on all of that. So make sure that you get onto that as well. Where can we find you, Joe? Where can we find you, buddy?
You can find me in the Twitter box at JOKEmptySpace. You can jump onto Facebook, look for hashtag empty space, hashtag the void, hashtag total nonsense impact, TNI UK. You'll find me on there. You know, if you fancy a daily giggle, look for hashtag daily giggle and step into the void with an open mind and you'll keep your sanity. And you can also find me on WrestleBuddy as well. I'm still slugging away. Eventually. On Rosemary. I'm still slugging away. But the feedback I've got
all right. It will be up eventually.
It will be up when it's ready, but it is a huge lot to plow through. It was a lot more than I expected. And because then I forgot Rosemary with the company for 5 years. So,
there's a lot of content. Mm. There's a lot of content. What about you, Steve? Where can we find you, bud?
You find me over on Twitter at simplysteve311, where everything is Impact Wrestling. Or you can find me over on WrestleBuddy.com under the Impact Wrestling banner, where on every Thursday, I believe, we drop another article Impact Wrestling related.
What I like about Steve's articles, guys, is, they're not just like a review. He picks a subject, he does his research, and he does a great article about it. Very worth, if you're an Impact fan, if you're just a general wrestling fan, they're definitely worth a read. So make sure you get over there, WrestleBuddy.com. Steve pops one out every week. Joe pops one out every now and again when he gets time, or his dog Sammy's not biting his nuts or whatever. So he's definitely gets those articles out there. So make sure you check them out. I got Gary just before I quickly run in. Gary's asking me about the poster on the wall. Are you talking about this one? That was when I visited New York back in November 2019. I did the tapings there in November, and I did the platinum package. So we got all sorts of stuff, which was really cool. Behind me on this side here is the Josh Alexander sleeveless that he wore to the ring. It's all signed Walking Weapon, which is fantastic. He sent that to me a couple of months ago, and I've forgotten what they're called.
WrestleBuddy.
I keep forgetting what they're called. No, they're not WrestleBuddy.
Micro Brawlers.
That's the Micro Brawler I've also got from him, signed with a nice personalized message on the back as well, which is really cool. So yeah, quite a few stuff in there, which is good. I've also got a Kane signed picture here as well, and that's Josh Alexander as well up there, because as we all know, Josh Alexander is one of my favorite wrestlers. So I'm happy with everything that he does, so it's all good. So yeah, there you go, little rundown on what's behind the Bison. This has been Impacted Live, and we hope you've enjoyed spending time with us, as we talk about everything Impact Wrestling related. Please take the time to help us out moving up the rankings on YouTube by giving us a good thumbs up. And if you're new to us, you like what you've seen, then click subscribe and don't forget to give the bell a tickle to never miss any of the great content from TNR UK and the US teams every single week. With that said, I've been Bison. They have been Simply Steve and the Joker. And this has been episode 41 of Impacted. Take care, everyone. We're Bison!